Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
I believe it's so important in our relationship with God is to still declare the goodness of God in your life even when you can't see it. And I think there is power to that. I think there is an authority and there is a skill and there is a gift that God has for us and that there is for us if we can learn how to do that. And I couldn't help but to think, because especially my mind, you know, being on our church and just thinking about people and thinking about sometimes what is the toughest season or toughest areas of our lives is to worship God even when we don't see it. And that was something, man, I felt like, for me at least, a breakthrough in my heart during worship was that part right there was like, man, is to contend and to believe for God, to trust in God, even when you're not seeing it in your life. How many can know what I'm talking about? And so I want to use this scripture, and I want to talk to you about allowing God to fight your battles. Because one of the things I really believe is a lot of times we waste energy, we waste mind, our time on battles that don't even belong to you and belong to me. And there's a special thing that we can tap into God, a relationship that we can have in with him, that he fights our battles. And we're going to talk about that today, because I think sometimes we like, man, what is that? What is God fighting our battles? And I want to use a scripture. There are a couple of scriptures, but I want to focus on one. Sorry, Jose, we just had to divert from the last three Beatitudes that I sent you today. But I just want to read off the top in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. The Bible says, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And we spent the last couple of weeks talking about the blessings of God, the being blessed by God, and what it means to be blessed in his kingdom. And a lot of times, right, when we talked about it was, you know, when we attach, when we post a picture on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, on whatever platform that we use, when we use the hashtag blessed, hashtag, usually it's attached to a new car, a new thing we got, a new job that we have. And don't get me wrong, those can be signs of blessings. But a lot of times, that's not the true blessing that God has for us. And I want to use this scripture here as our foundation, is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. It says, "Don't worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans," meaning those that don't follow after God, "run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." There's a power, there's a grace that comes on your life when you seek God first. When that is your first thing, when you say, "God, I'm going to seek your kingdom, I'm going to seek your righteousness," and he says, "all these things will be added unto you." And the world we live in, it doesn't function like that. It's usually seeking out worldly things. It's seeking out worldly possessions and success and blessings. But in the kingdom of God, it's opposite. And we looked at how it was being, the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." It says, "Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those that recognize their condition and their need for Jesus." And I love that, because he said, this is what it means to be blessed. And a lot of times we don't see it like, no. Being blessed by God, being blessed in this life, meaning is by what we drive, what we have, what we gain, where we're going, where we're traveling, who we're with. And those might be a sign of it, but it's not a true blessing. It's a byproduct. And what I love about what God brings to the table here, he says, look, if you seek me out, my righteousness and my kingdom, he says, all those things that everybody else chases after, I can bring those to you. And so the ideal is this, is where are our priorities? What are we seeking first? What is the first thing that we're looking at? And I said that just so we can tap off and we can kind of maybe close out on this series of our blessedness. But my heart for this scripture today is going to be found in Exodus chapter 14. We're going to get down a little bit right here, because I believe many times we can find ourselves in this same situation in our lives. And I want to ask you, what do you do in these moments? And I hope this will encourage you today. But in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, I'll give you some time to turn there. And basically the background of the story is that the God had given the command to Moses to help him and assist him in setting his people free. And so Moses has successfully done this. God has worked through him, done miracles, and has enabled, after the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, have been enslaved for 400 plus years. I mean, 400 years, that means that kids raised up and people were born in it and died in it, born and died. For 400 years, were enslaved. And now God has heard their cry, and he's going to move for them, and he uses Moses to deliver his people. And they get to this moment. Finally, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gives up. He's tired of all if you've ever seen the cartoon, he's tired of it. He's tired of all the plagues that are happening to his people. And finally, what broke him is that his firstborn died. And so now the Pharaoh finally gave up and said, all right, you can go, you can leave. And so the nation of Israel is excited. They're rejoicing because after 400 years, they're finally let go. And they're let go, and they're excited, and they get to this moment in their walk. They're not even that far out. They've only been freed maybe for a couple of days. And Pharaoh's upset with them, and so he's going to chase them down and enslave them again. And so in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, we pick that up, and we read. It says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we were told in Egypt, the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And I want us to look at something first here before we dive into the next scripture, is that here's this challenge that God has done a miracle for them. God has performed wonderful signs for them, has blessed them, gave them victory, they're leaving. And then the first obstacle they face, they want to quit and give up. The first battle they experience, the first letdown, they're crying back to go back to what they used to have. And I think sometimes that happens in our life, that we can get to a place that, and I want you to understand this, I believe this is timely for our church as well, that we can experience victory after victory after victory, and then sometimes you just hit a spot. You hit a moment when it doesn't seem, all the excitement is gone, it doesn't seem like the way that you thought it was going to turn out, and all of a sudden, it looks different. We're rejoicing, we're excited. Yeah, man, God, up to soon. All of a sudden, the enemy's on their doorstep. And the first thing that they begin to do is they begin to cry out and begin to wish for something different. They begin to say, man, why can't we go back? And where's God at now? And did we would have, if we just would have stayed here, we would have been better off. And they're worried. The Bible says they're very afraid. Have you been in your life like that where you're very afraid? You're in a moment, you're in a season of your life, and you're feeling that. You say, man, it's not what I thought. I'm scared about the future. I'm nervous about the future. And here they are. They're very afraid. How many know that sometimes when you're afraid, it really shows your true colors? You ever been afraid before? Man, people panic, right? That fight or flight syndrome, right? They're caught in a moment. Either they're going to fight or they're going to take off. And it happens in life. We're pressed in these moments when it gets hard, when it gets tough, when things start hitting the fan and we start getting pressured. What's inside of you today? Do you run or do you fight? Do you take off? Do you hide and you go undercover when things are getting out of control? Or do you fight? Because we're all pressed at different moments spiritually, in family, in relationships, in which we have that decision. Either I'm going to fight for what I have or I'm going to take off and call it quits. Sometimes we do that in the job. And I want you to understand something, because we're going to get into this next scripture, that here's the concern with this. Some of us here today have never been able to see the power and the glory of God because you quit too soon. You give up too soon. Some of us never see it. And it doesn't even have to be so much spiritual. Sometimes it's in our job. Sometimes it's in our relationships. Sometimes it's in the church. Sometimes it's in just in your mind that you're at the brink of stepping into the greatest moment of your life. God wants to do the greatest thing for you. But because it gets sometimes difficult, because of the fear, because of the challenges, we don't continue to fight forward. We don't continue to fight forward. And so here the people are in this moment. They're at the brink. All they need to do, they're stuck up against this river. All they need to do is cross it. And yes, the river is, it seems impossible because it's right, the Red Sea. It's not like a little stream they can just jump over. It's like, hey, we have the enemy back here. We have this big Red Sea right here. What's going to happen? Because it doesn't look good. My back's against the corner. I got no other options. We can't go to the sea. We can't go here because we're surrounded on every side. I mean, feel like that in your life. You're surrounded on every side. You're just trying to figure out which direction am I going to go. But every side, every time you try to figure it out, it's something else. Let me know what I'm talking about. It's not one thing. It's another thing. It's not one thing. It's another thing. And so here they are in this place. And now they're crying out saying we should have just died in the wilderness. And they're on the brink of having the greatest miracle in their life, and they're allowing fear to take hold of them. They're allowing their doubts and their worries to control them. But listen to this in verse 13, and the Bible says this, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. There's a whole lot in that right there. Because when we're in that moment, here's what I believe that God wants us to understand today, is that when you're in that moment and you're pressed on every side, your front, your back, all things are coming at you, don't know, you don't understand. Here's the problem that I see in that area is that many times we try to fight in our own strength. See, here's the problem with them is they, right, the Israelites begin to look at their own strength. What they said was, we should have stayed in the desert. We should have, and they looked at themselves, and they're trying to figure out, how are we going to cross this Red Sea? We see Egyptian, and they're looking at their own selves to fix their situation. And many times we're like that as well. We're pressed on all these sides. We have all these things coming at us. We have all these things in our mind, in our heart, and we're trying to figure it out and pound and figure it out and pound and figure it out and trying to fix this person, fix that person, fix this situation when the battle's not even yours. And see, what God wanted to do, what he was trying to do, see, here's the thing, is God was trying to defeat the enemy completely. God was not satisfied. They were probably happy. Oh, we're all free. But the Lord was not satisfied. He said, there's an enemy coming after him, and I want to deal with them completely. There are some things in your life that God wants to deal with in your life completely. He wants to destroy. I love this. I love what he says here. He says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. And there are some things that God wants to work out in your life. He wants to defeat some things. He wants to destroy some things, help you overcome some things so that you will see them no more again in your life. But because we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to work it out, we're so worried and we're so fearful, we can't even see what God is trying to do. We're so focused on what's before us. We're so focused on where we come from and our past and the history and what used to be. And we can't even focus. We can't even see right. The fear is controlling, the worry, the doubt, the uncertainty about what's going to happen next when God's up there in heaven and says, look, you're worried about things that ain't even your job. I'm going to deliver you. If you would turn to me and look to me and call out to me, I'm about to do something for you. It's going to be such a miracle in your life that ain't no one ever going to take that away from you. And so what I need you to do, and so what he's trying, you got to have some faith. You got to trust me. You got to believe in me. You got to look to me. And yeah, when it's looking up into the sky and coming down into prayer and to worship, it seems like, how does that work? But how many know that activates God to move? And this is why it's different when we worship, and we can worship with a few people. This is what I love, and I'm like, man, this is in my heart. God, when you're worshiping and you're believing and you're still saying that God is a God of breakthrough, that's crazy. Because your eyes are shifted. It's saying, God, you're still good. You're still a God of breakthrough. I don't need to see it right now because my eyes are above and they're looking at you. And I'm trusting you. And yes, there are battles that you have to fight, but there are some battles that God wants to fight and is going to fight for you. And many times the Bible did, he put people in that position. And the reason being is because there are some times when God needs to say, look, I want you to understand what I'm about to do next. It only comes from me, not from you. If some of you will give God that opportunity in your life, that he can do such a miracle for you, he can open up such a door and deliver you, that you would know and say, only God could have done that for me. Only God could have done that for this church. Only God could have done that for our family. And I love this. He says, don't be afraid, stand still. How many can you stand still in your mind and in your heart? Right, we read that scripture in Matthew. It says, don't worry. A lot of times we're not standing still. You're not even moving, but your mind is racing 1,000 miles per hour. And God wants to give you peace. You're racing and you're mentally battling and you're fighting just up here in your head. A battle that God's already taken care of. See, that's the power. That's the thing about worries, because that's what he says. He says, don't even trip. He's like, I got those things covered. You know, what I love about that scripture, it's like, here's God. What I love about, this is a powerful thing that you need to know about God, if you don't already know, is that what happens is that God, he sees the whole picture. Listen to this. He sees the whole picture, right? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end. That's what the Bible says. So he knows the beginning and he knows the end. So here's a powerful thing. When the Lord says something like this, because in Matthew chapter 6, it's Jesus speaking. When he says, do not worry, he's not speaking it from he's speaking it from the future. Can you understand this today? So he's looking at your life and he's saying, don't worry. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, don't worry, I see it all. And how encouraging is that? Because see, sometimes we we want to know the future and how it's going to turn out, but our God in heaven is already in the future. He knows the future. So you kind of, like you and I, we don't need to go to the future. We don't need some machine and some mechanism. We don't need to have to ask God, oh God, how's the future going to turn out? All you got to know is it's good. And what he tells us is don't worry. This is the power of it, because he's speaking. He knows how it's going to turn out. And he's saying, do not worry. Seek the kingdom and my righteousness, and you're going to be good. That's all we need to know. That's all he gives us anyway. So he just gives us that. That's all. Hey, do not worry. Trust me in the future. Trust that I have you. Trust that I've got you. And like the scripture, and Moses' command to him is, stand still. Be still in your heart. Be still in your mind. Trust your God. Just, I got to trust you. I can't keep fighting people. I can't be worrying about this and worrying about that. I got to trust you with that. I can't keep trying to figure out who's going to come, who's going to go. I've got to trust. I've got to believe. I got to stand still. I got to stand still. And he says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more. You shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall, here it goes, you shall hold your peace. That's a powerful scripture. He says, you shall hold your peace. You shall hold your peace. Some of us, we get some peace, but it's fleeting. Right? We get peace for a moment. We get peace when the check comes. We get peace when the relationship is working. We get peace when we're traveling. We get peace when we have this and we have that. And it's fleeting, isn't it? It passes. It comes and goes. But the scripture says the Lord will fight for you. And when he fights for you, you hold that peace. That's the power of God fighting on your behalf. Stop fighting people. Let God. Just a side note. The Bible says that vengeance is his. I want you to understand something. Like, if some of y'all trying to kill some people tonight, you got some plans, you're scheming, you're trying to hurt. I want to tell you that the Bible says vengeance is his. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Just a side note, okay? And so when vengeance is his, right, when God moves, and this is why when people come against you and they're attacking you and they're saying things and they're saying wrong things and negative things and things that are not right and things that are not truthful, you let God take care of that. You put yourself at peace, because when the Lord moves, he moves. I'll tell you that much. When he performs and when vengeance is his, he knows how to do it just right. And so we don't, our job is not to battle people like that. Stick up for yourself. Don't get me wrong. Stand up for yourself. You know, you got to do those type of things. But sometimes, hey, I'm going to get to my God. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to watch him move. Because if vengeance belongs to him, he's going to do what he knows is best. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we don't really, you know, the person that's bugging us or messing with us, we don't necessarily know what's going on in their heart and their mind. Here's the thing. So when vengeance is yours, you don't necessarily know what's happening, what God wants to do, what God wants to make happen on their behalf. Right? And sometimes people are thinking one way. We think they're thinking a particular way. We don't know that God knows best. And so when we allow God to move and allow God to, he does it in the right way. I had a scripture. I can't share it tonight. But just a side, oh, man, it's about King David. I just got to share it. King David, all right, because I want you, I'm just going to tell you this story. And King David, he's in a desert, and he is about, and he hears about a gentleman named Nabal. And this is crazy. Nabal's up, and the Bible says he's a wealthy man, and David's on the run. He's running from Saul. Yeah, he's just got his men with him, and they're in the desert. They're hungry, and he hears about Nabal. Nabal has 1,000 sheep. He has all kinds of cattle. And so what David does, David says, take some of his men and says, hey, go tell Nabal that I need his help. And he tells him like this. He basically says, hey, tell him like this. Tell him who sent you is David, and remind him of how I helped his boys when they were hungry, and how I protected them, and how I supported them. So his men go up there to Nabal. Nabal, basically, in other words, disrespects David. And basically what he says, I don't know who David is. Who's David? David is mad. He's angry. He's pissed off. He says, how is this dude not going to help me when I helped him? I mean, like that. Are you not going to help me? So what David does, he gets his sword, tells all his men, you get your sword, we're going to kill Nabal. I mean, that's a get disrespect. Right? Anybody get to that level when you get disrespected? I hope not. Sorry if I disrespected you. But he said, strap up, because we killing Nabal, man. He disrespect, and he's in a tough spot anyways. He's hungry. His mentor just died. And so he's on, this is my breaking point. We're going to kill Nabal and everybody around him. What happens, though, is word gets to Nabal's wife, Abigail, and Gabo understands the calling that's on David's life. Nabal's wife. Nabal catches wind that, hey, David's men are coming and they're going to kill your husband. And so what she does is she sends out a whole bunch of donkeys or whatever with a bunch of food before her to say, hey, okay, send them out. We're going to take care. This is not going to happen. My husband's a fool, and we're going to make sure David's good because I know he's a warrior. I know the calling on his life and that he's been anointed by God. And it's interesting, the Bible says that as she's going up, they're coming down, David and his men. And she catches them. And she says, in other words, in just my own translation, you can read it for yourself. And she tells David, you're about to throw away your calling over what Nabal's about to do. And she tells him, she says, you're about to throw away everything that God has for you because of your anger, because of your disappointment, and because of your frustration. And here David is, and he's about to do this, and David catches himself, and he doesn't end up, and he doesn't do this thing, and he doesn't go down, and he doesn't kill her. Can I read it to you today? I'm going to read it to you, because I want you to understand what he says. It says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what I have to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool. And the folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from your bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord, be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Listen, 28. I want you to listen. It says, please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord because you fight the Lord's battles. And no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. And even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. And listen to verse 3. It says, when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. Ooh, this lady stopped King David in his tracks. She understood something about him and says, look, don't do this thing. God has called you. He's got a purpose on your life. Don't throw it away. And I want you to understand something today, that many times it could be people, it could be in our mind. I want to encourage this church, keep it, don't not throw away the calling that God has put on your life. Because maybe you're frustrated, and maybe things aren't turning out the way that you planned, and maybe you're hungry in your heart, and whatever it may be, maybe you've been offended and you've been messed up. Do not throw away what God has called you to do. And I love it because she says, when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him over ruler. I love that, every good thing. And I want to challenge you today, let God handle your business. Let God move on your behalf. Let him avenge you. Get to your God. And yes, I know people done you wrong, maybe have said some things and acted some things, but let God take care of that. Be at peace. Stand still. Let your peace remain. Don't compromise who you are. Don't compromise what God is doing in your life. Don't throw it away over some fool. Don't throw it away. Is that making sense today? I'm sorry, it was just a side note, but I want you to understand that today. Don't waste your time. Let God avenge you. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. In verse 15, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his enemy, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Here's the thing, when you become obedient to God, when you stand still and you find your peace in him, is that God gets all the honor. And here's the thing about it, that they would have missed that miracle of crossing the Red Sea. They would have missed it. Because of their fear, because of their lack of faith, because of their lack of trust in God, they would have missed it. And here God is saying, I want to do something for you. I want to wipe out the enemy completely. I want to give you a miracle. I want to do something that only I could do. I want to split that Red Sea in your life. This was his plan. This was his intention. And I want to speak this over our church today because I believe that's the same way. I can't help every time I pray and I think it's the same way for our lives individually and as a church. Is that we are, it could be pressed on all sides. But I want to challenge you to look to your God in heaven because there's a miracle that he wants to do. And I pray that you won't get lost in the wilderness of life. You won't get lost in the wilderness of waiting, of being pressed, of not knowing what to do next. I pray you don't die there. I pray you don't get wasted out there. I pray that you be like David. You be like David and you allow maybe my voice today, God's voice today, to stop you in your tracks. Maybe you're thinking about doing something crazy. And I'm telling you right now, maybe you got to consider it. That God has a plan for you, that he has a purpose, that he's working out something. Don't throw it away. And we didn't read it tonight, but David didn't say, he says, in other words, he says, I'm tired. He's like, I'm tired of being, basically, he says, I'm tired of being faithful all the time. And my words, if you read it, he says, I'm tired of it. He's like, I've been good to Nabal, I've been good to people, and this is what I get. This is what I get. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And he might have been right in every aspect of it. He might have been right in every, I mean, he didn't do nothing wrong. He being chased, he's being accused. He's just fed up. You ever got to that point? You just fed up, man. I'm done. Tired. I'm out of here. You can't fire me. I quit. I'm gone. Forget that 2 weeks notice. You can't do that all the time. Because sometimes God has you in a season to work out something in your life. Sometimes he's trying to teach you something. And if you tap out too quick, if you give up too quick, you will not see the goodness of the Lord in your life. If you call it quits too quick, if you call it too early, if you allow that anger to rise up, that frustration to get you a point to where you're going to do something that's just going to cost you and compromise your future and compromise the calling on your life. And God wants to, he wants to put a stop to that in your life. He's trying to hold you back, spiritually hold you back. And he says, I got this. Let me take care of this son. Let me take care of this daughter. I'll do it better than you can. You're going to compromise yourself. And if you read the rest of the story, Nabal, I think, had a heart attack or something. God dealt with him, and he was done because he was an evil man. And so I want to challenge you today, and in your heart, in your life, in your walk with God, to not throw away the calling that's on your life. It could be whatever it is. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's a temptation thing. Maybe it's a person thing that you're about to give it all up. Maybe it's a mental thing. I want to encourage you today. Don't do that. There's a blessing coming your way. I want to encourage those of you today that you feel like in your heart, man, I can never seem to get a break. And you're trying to figure out, I'm trying to figure out this way and figuring out that way and try to do this and that. You know what? Today, the word for you today is the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You just need to be still. And you've been losing your peace over that. You've been losing your peace over that because you've been trying to figure it all out. And so, but I want to tell you today that if you give it to God and you stand still in your mind, he'll give you a peace that just stays. It remains. It remains. It remains. Some of you today that God, there's also a miracle that God wants to do. There's a red sea that he wants to split in your life. And so will you have faith enough to trust him and to believe in him and still declare with your words that God, you're good, you're faithful, that you have a strategy, that you're working all things according to the good of those who love you, that you still have a plan and a purpose to bless me, right? That you knew me while I was in my mother's womb, that you called me while I was still a sinner, that there's still open up doors, there's still another blessing for me. I may have missed that one, but I'm not going to miss the next one. Can we do that today? I want to encourage somebody today. I want to encourage you today. Come on, let's all stand this evening. We're going to worship, just spend some time. I just want us to worship, man, because I want us to just praise God in this moment. I want you to stand still and to praise the Lord. And maybe there's you today, man. You want to get some prayer, and we can pray up here at this altar. I want us to start bringing that back to together to pray. I don't want us to miss out on that. I want us to take time in prayer. A lot of times we don't get other times to pray, but tonight, you know, I want us to spend some time in prayer. Maybe there's some worries you got to give to your Father in heaven. Maybe there's some places you need to make a decision to stand still. Maybe there's some vengeance you want to take out, and you got to be, as Bethel preached last week, that you got to release them. They've offended you, but you got to release them. Let God bring what he's got to bring and deal with him what he's got to deal with in them. That's not your job. I want to pray today, and I want to pray for those that you don't know the Lord. You don't know Jesus. I want you to pray. If we can pray as a church, maybe you got to reinstate and give your heart back to the Lord. You've been distant. I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm yours tonight. Do as you please. I need you in my life. I am lost without you. I'm broken without you. I have no direction without you. But with you, Lord, I'm found. I have hope. I have purpose. I'm forgiven of my sins. There's destiny and there's life for me. And so I thank you for giving me what you could only give. And that's life, and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for our church today. I pray for us in this time, in this season of our life. Lord, we need you to move on our behalf. Oh, we need you to move. We have people saying things. Our mind is saying things. The circumstances around us is telling us one thing. But today, Lord, we're going to stand still. We're going to look to you. Lord, I ask you to fight our battles. Quiet those that are saying negative things and hurtful things. God, quiet the things in our mind that are speaking negative about you, that are telling lies. Lord, fight our battles. Fight the things that we cannot fight. Vengeance is yours. It is yours. You know what to do. You do it justfully. If we do it, we do it in anger. If we do it wrong. But Lord, we know, God, you are more merciful and you are more graceful, Father. You know how to do what's right to the fullest ability. And so we're trusting in you today that you will get all the glory for the enemies defeated. You will get all the glory for the Red Seas that are going to open. You will get all the praise for the deliverance and the peace and the hope that will be instilled in our hearts. And we declare this in your name. And so today we're going to worship you today. We're going to praise you for not because of what we see or because of how we feel, but we're going to praise you because you're good and that you remain faithful. We're going to sing by faith. We're going to worship by faith today. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of miracles, and you're the God of deliverance. And so our hearts are yours today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's sing today.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.